For those of you that know this program, Live from the Dutch Hall, and its host, Pete Van Dyke, you'll know that I love my cousins more than anything else in the world. And last night, we went to the Foo Fighters. So this is for the second week in a row. Pete feels like a big bag of poop for this episode. But you know what I am as a professional? And I'm going to forge forward. And I'm going to do the things as a responsible broadcaster I need to do. So let's hit it, boys.
Boys and show.
What?
Oh, boys and our sweet-ass bartender.
Yeah, anyone need a drink?
Yes.
Sounds pretty good. I like hearing the music without seeing Charter's face.
So contrived.
All right. Hot crowd, everybody. Hot crowd, hot crowd. Oh. It's okay, band. Why don't you just stop for a second, eh? Just stop for a second. Take a break, band. Today we have the great in studio. We have the soundboard Nocturnal Emissions, which is every bit as good because you do not have to see Charter's hideous appearance. And you know what? And I think the boys deserve a break this week, so I let them go on holidays, nice summer holidays. I said, Charters, it's about time you reacquainted yourself with your children and go on a nice vacation, right? You know, on Live from the Dutch Hall. We sent them out. Well, we didn't pay them any money. But we did give them our blessing. Right, and he's off having a good vacation. And Mike is again riding roller coasters, and felt that's what he's doing this week. So we have no band in the house tonight, but what we do have is someone that's been with the show, a real big part of the show. It turns out he's a real fan favorite. Everybody is really, really singing his praises. Yeah. He's turned out to be a breakout star, Live from the Dutch Hall. He's my brother, and he, more importantly, is the ordinary bartender, Live from the Dutch Hall. Paul Van Dyke is in the house. Let's hear it for him.
I hear the night off from bartending.
Well, Paul, exactly. I decided because, you know, week after week, you know, you can count on the bartender. If you're not here, it's because we sent you on location or to come back and report to the hall. But you've always been a soldier for the team. You're here week after week. And I thought, you know, it's about time we started showing you the respect you deserve now that you've become a big star. So we gave you a decent microphone. And we hired a bartender for this evening to replace you. And I got to tell you, she's looking better than you've ever looked behind the bar there.
By far.
The beautiful and lovely Dr. Jane is in the house. Let's hear it for Jane.
Thank you. I can't get the bottles open. They're all stuck, though. Oh.
Are you kidding me?
I can be.
It's like, we'll open it for you. Bring it to the big boys, and we'll open up the bottles for you.
It's open. I started it for you.
Good job, Barney.
And tonight's guest, you've been a part of the live studio audience, but tonight the spotlight is firmly on our guest tonight. Jamie Barham is in the studio. Let's hear it for Jamie Barham.
Oh, yeah, Barney.
So as I said, we were coming off the big Canada Day celebration last week. We had the Canada Day hangover party after the actual day, but then I have my annual Canada Day party, and you were lighting off fireworks for your mother-in-law's birthday party as well, too, Paul?
Yeah, 70th birthday party. It was great.
Yeah, and I cannot believe, this year I did fireworks again, too, but I cannot believe the power of those fireworks. Like, it's not, like, they, when we were kids, you know, you go to, you know, see the firemen light off fireworks or whatever, and it was nothing compared to the stuff that you can buy and light off in your backyard. Like,
no, at the end of my show, I light off two Roman candles at the same time and say, "That's what I got when I was a kid."
And the burning schoolhouse,
right? Burning schoolhouse. That's it.
Yeah, you'd buy that pack, that box that had a whole bunch of Roman candles. Like you said, you might get a couple fountains in there, a pinwheel, and that's about it. Some of those loud boomers that don't make any,
yeah, the air bombs or whatever, right?
Yeah, and here we're lighting off these cakes, and it's like ridiculous, and the amount of shrapnel and stuff that's left afterwards, like, is crazy. Like, you are getting hammered with it in the crowd. Jane, you were there, you were in the crowd. I never know because I'm lighting them off, but Are you getting pelted with like?
No, it's funny because you'll see one maybe fall a few feet away and then one the other way, but you're not getting pelted. And then because the amount that you see on the road is ridiculous afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
No, do you it's see not the, like we're running from it.
Do you see the guys that are lighting it though, running for cover and stuff? Like, or is it too dark to see the guys?
No, like, we're all happy. It's all cool. It's all wonderful. It's magical.
Yeah.
And no.
You're in a foxhole. You're in a foxhole. I light them off in a ditch, you know, with a wheelbarrow full of sand. And, you know, when you light them off, then you run up the hill and you stand for cover because you are getting pelted sometime. And we've had people catch fire. Like,
yeah, it's crazy. I had like over a half hour of fireworks and it was running for cover, like ducking for cover and then reaching in.
Yeah, that's scary. Insane.
Like the first one that you light, you're right up on it and you just kind of, you're like, oh, I can just look up and, oh, no.
No, you can't. You watch zero of the show. It's just ducking for cover. You don't even watch, maybe the very last one.
Yeah, the last one or two, you can kind of like relax and watch it a bit, lie on the ground. And that, what was that? Did you hear that?
I heard that.
It sounded like some sort of an attack out there. We're going to have to send the bartender out to see what's going on outside the studio.
Yeah, Larry seems got like, his cat tail.
Yeah, it seems like there's something going on out there. And so anyways, yeah, that's what I couldn't believe. Like the amount of, it seems like every year they become more and more powerful. The best fireworks to get are the ones that have no graphics on the box. Like the people, when they didn't pay for the marketing and they didn't pay for anything else, they just put like a brown paper wrapper on a cake of firework. You can just you can feel the power come off of it. It's way more, and it's heavier too. They're just full of gunpowder. I had one that lit off just two or three rows. You know, it was one of those like 50 shot ones, and it would let off like maybe one row or two rows, and then it dudded. It like the wick must have broke or whatever, and then the rest of it's still there.
Did you throw out any fire?
No, because of all the people.
Unsafe conditions.
Oh.
So I gave it to my brother-in-law to take home, and he's gonna light it in his fire with no people around. That's what he said, but he hasn't done it yet. I might have to go over there and watch it because that's always awesome. Usually, I burn them every year, and one of them goes off like that, and I didn't want to do that again this year just because.
Well, I shot some air bombs that are supposed to fly up, and then when they get to the top, they explode.
Yeah.
Right. They bang. Well, these ones didn't, but you could follow the cartridge. The kids followed it down and watched where it landed and picked them up.
Yeah.
Like the cartridge. And then I took the cartridge from them and lit the end of it on fire and like, bang, blew right up. And they found three of the dud cartridges.
Oh, like, that's wow. That's pretty dangerous, yeah.
And
how many of them are just out there, yeah. There was two different football players, I think, NFL football players. I think I guess play a theme song for this then, eh?
Yeah. This is our only break. Sports yeah. Oh, yeah. Knowledge.
I don't know if I got one.
Some football player blew his hand off.
And USA won the fucking...
Wait, don't blow it. Don't
sorry,
blow it.
That's enough dick jokes. Let's talk balls.
Oh, this is our sports break. So, yeah, but when we're talking about fireworks, there was two NFL football players that blew their... one guy... blew his finger off. He got his finger amputated, and I think he also broke his wrist or something. So that's actually screwed him up worse than But then the other guy I think also lost a finger. Two different football players from lighting off fireworks on the 4th of July
celebration.
Yeah, yeah. It's scary, dangerous, and yeah, some of them and they all light at different like speeds too. So like. I'm surprised we don't hear more people losing their hands and you know, losing hearing or whatever, you know, because there's.
Do you wear safety glasses?
Of course I do, Jane. Of course, as a responsible husband of an optometrist, I would always be wearing my safety gear, and I would recommend that everyone at home, when you're lighting off fireworks, do the same, you know, because really prevention is better than any cure that you can come up with. You know, it's worth, isn't they say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
I'm such an uncool bartender, eh? Instead of the F and the P.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's a different style of bartending, you know, like where, I don't know what they, you know, I think that the Haitian dwarf has always been very critical of you, James.
I know.
I'm not sure it's going to be his cup of tea, but, you know, because he's a big Paul Van Dyke bartender fan.
Yeah.
But you know, I was at, I gotta tell you, with my
little effort in the PH,
I'll try. I'll just get really drunk back here.
There's cues. There's cues that we will do. Our regular bartender is very good at noticing the cue, right? When it's time to say it, he doesn't miss a beat. So we're expecting a similar performance from you today. So we end up, the only other sports story from this week, I haven't been really following that much sports this week, other than the professional wrestling. So we would, but I did notice that the U.S. girls won. You mentioned that, eh, Barney? U.S. girls won?
Yeah,
it was kind of anticlimactic. It was a big deal for them. What they did was they had a ticker tape parade for those girls, which in New York, which they don't do except for when a New York team wins, and then once they did for Olympians or something like that, they did that for the U.S. team. So that was a nice touch for the girls, and good for them. Whoopee-doo.
Yeah, congratulations.
It must piss the rest of the world off, though, that the U.S. won. Like three times now they've won the World Cup that the women have. And when they don't really, as a nation, give a shit about soccer, you know, it's kind of tough for – it must be tough for the Italians to take or something, you know.
Yeah,
like,
right. The Portuguese. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Rolling over.
Yeah, living and breathing. Even England or whatever, and then, you know, see the States win. They don't really care. But it was a good tournament. I liked it a lot, actually. It was pretty good. The girls – and there's a lot of hot girls. And yeah, the one American I really liked – I forget what her name was. She scored a goal. Like, there was a good-looking woman in that tournament. I liked it. Normally, when you watch soccer, you watch the game, and then they show all the hot girls in the crowd, right? But this was like hot girls in the crowd and hot girls on the field, and it was just perfect.
It was like a win-win.
There was no downtime. Just like tennis,
they take their tops off when they score a goal too.
Right.
Celebration.
They used to, but they don't allow them to take off their shirts anymore. That was one girl did it, and it became kind of a big deal because she took off her shirt after she scored a goal, and she's wearing her sports bra or whatever underneath. Anyways, so it was like an iconic picture.
Top, like better than a bikini top.
Yeah, you're not seeing anything. A sports bra. It's just like wearing a halter top. I've seen teenage girls with muffin tops in malls wearing less than that, you know, like a halter, some of those crappy. Do people just wear sports bras in public? Jane, you're a woman. Do women just wear sports bras in public sometimes? Like, if they're exercising, can you run in a sports bra?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, if you can run in a sports bra, then a female soccer player should be allowed to take her shirt off and show her sports bra
boobies.
That's
normal sports attire for a lot of sports.
Right.
Running, aerobics.
Right.
Beach volleyball.
Right.
Yeah, Olympic absolutely.
Sports. Those bottoms on the beach volleyball are dynamite.
Oh, right? Yeah. Beach volleyball. That's
a good outfit.
Beach ball, yeah. The Pan Am Games are going on right now too in Toronto. That's the sport I'd want to go see is volleyball. Beach volleyball. Yeah. Of all the ones I'd go see, beach volleyball.
Me too.
Not men's though. I will not pay a cent for the men's beach volleyball tickets.
I will.
I don't want to see that at all. Women's beach volleyball, and I will only watch women's beach volleyball. Women's tennis, I will not watch men's tennis ever. But I love women's tennis. Right.
Just what's your favorite?
The grunting.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
I enjoy the grunting, but it can become too much, you know? It's kind of like, it's always the same, you know? I like a little variation, like a change
like
of pitch.
Maybe just at the technical shots, very the rhythmic. Ones that are really...
Yeah, but it's always the same noise. Like, you hear them go, like that.
Or the other one has a slightly different tone.
Where so I would like one of them go, like mix it up, you know? Give me some more like, yeah, something like that. Just give me something different, you know. I want to mix it up, you know. But even when you're doing a volley, make a different noise or something like that. And then I think that would be better because it gets to be too much, the same noise over and over again. It's just like, shut up already. I get it. You know, you're hitting the ball, right? So I don't really like that. But I do like the attractive women and you can look up their dresses.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
The little upskirt shots.
Yeah, because even though I know there's shorts under there or whatever, it's like seeing their underpants. I like it. You know, that's it. I can't help myself.
You went to a Catholic high school.
Yeah, I went to a Catholic high school. That stuff's like right in my cup of tea, like a little stolen glance at some underpants. I like it. It's way better than anything else. And when the guys do it, I don't like it at all.
It just doesn't do it for me.
It doesn't do anything for me.
No views up the shorts.
Hey, if the girls got in trouble for taking off their soccer jersey and showing their sports bra, then would a guy get in trouble if at the end of the game, you know, they change sweaters and stuff like that? What if they change shorts, but they're just wearing like, you know, like a bikini briefs, like European underpants or whatever those soccer players wear, right? The jockeys or whatever. If they were wearing that, like a Speedo, would that be okay to take your pants off if you're wearing like underpants on the field?
Yeah, it'd be allowed for guys.
You think it would be allowed?
Oh, yeah. Those soccer players can do whatever they want when they score.
Yeah.
Streak the field.
Okay. Did you ever see that one guy that bit the other guy's dick when he celebrated? Wow. He was so happy, you know? They tackled their buddy. They tackled their buddy. The one guy scored a goal. And they're all celebrating. And the one guy just goes up and just bites the guy's dick.
He was just like that excited?
Yeah. Put his head down in the guy's lap and just bit his helmet. Like, bit his helmet. That was how they celebrated. Different culture, I think. I don't know what nationality those guys were, but they were kind of olive-skinned. So from a Spanish country, I would say. Yeah, that's all I could decipher from there. But he bit him right in the dick. There's no question about that. Look it up on Google. You can see it. It's there, but I'm not going to try it with technology.
Soccer dick bite or what?
Soccer dick bite. Put in that. Soccer dick bite. I guarantee it. You'll see. You'll find it. Yeah. It exists. I didn't make that up.
Oh, wow.
So that's our sports break for this week. But there's not much going on in sports. That's why we need Mike. When Mike was in here and we did the sports break, and then I started talking about Kessel, don't really know what I'm talking about, right? Just babbling idiot I am. And then I think it was you, Paul, that said like, "Hey, Mike, what do you think about the sports thing? Because you actually know what you're talking about." Is that you?
Yeah.
And I had forgot that until I listened to that show back. I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about. I forgot. I have enough working knowledge of sports because you have to, like, when you're getting a conversation with a guy and he realizes you don't know anything about sports, a lot of guys will, like, lose interest in you or think less of you, eh? Like,
because
a lot of people, they really are into it, right? So then you have to – I always find I have to watch SportsCenter or something and just have – or read – you know, just enough to know what's going on and everything so you can carry on a conversation. And there's usually good stories going on in sports, but right now it's boring. It's just baseball, and I don't give a shit about baseball. And what is it? Football started now? CFL started?
We got the Blue Jay, third baseman, starting All-Star game.
Donaldson. Oh, yeah, that was the big Don Cherry push, wasn't it?
So, yeah, he got the most votes ever.
Yeah?
And starting third baseman, 14 million votes or something he got for... starting, but he deserves it. He's the best third baseman in the league by far.
Yeah, exciting to watch too, isn't he? Like,
yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he's is he better than Dave's? No, than
Baptista?
no, third baseman. Who is the third baseman for the Jays when they won the World Series in '92? Do you remember?
Well, I don't know, but that was a great party.
Yeah. Do you remember anymore?
Baseball? No.
No. That was the only time I watched the Jays when they won. And then I
remember that party.
Oh, I remember the party. There was 2 years of them.
Yeah, yeah. Two in a row. And the second one, you think they'd lose steam, eh? Like after you win one World Series and you partied it out, and it was Toronto never wins anything ever. So like the town went pretty nuts about it. And then they win the second year in a row. It was just as big a party too. And it should have been though, because it may never happen again, right? Yeah. Like
never two in a row. Never
two in a row. Yeah, yeah. And then,
like cops on horses. Like it was great. Eh? Like you'd all of a sudden you're in a crowd of people and like you'd get a horse's torso, like the chest of a horse, pushing you right in there, right against. Right. But all of a sudden a horse comes up out of the crowd. Well, you're out of control.
So is it like sea to sea people? Is it like wall to wall people? And then
oh yeah, people running across the tops of the cars, like traffic stops.
Right, right.
Like people get out of their cars and just leave the car there.
Yeah, you might as well leave the keys in it.
If the Toronto Maple Leafs ever win a Stanley Cup, I think there's going to be
they'll burn the town down.
I think that it's going to, you're going to see like this exodus to the city of like, you know, where every like shitty little town and stuff like that all over Ontario is just going to like filter out and head towards the city to fill it in, because there's all these people that went their whole life thinking it would never happen, and it finally happens. You know, it's going to be crazy if it ever does, but I don't know if I'll see it in my lifetime. I really don't.
We paid $50 million. It's going to happen in 5 years.
No. What's $50 million to those guys though, really? What is $50 million to those guys? It doesn't really matter, right?
But he doesn't shoot the puck. That's all I say.
You know what we should do before we go too far is we should probably drink Paul's potable.
Oh, I didn't even make it.
Well, we did. We got it this week. We got it from our guest, Jamie Barham, has actually made it. So we're going to call it, and our bartender is named Jane. But because we're honoring you, we still are going to call it Paul's Potable. So let's have Paul's Potable.
Can't say it. What could be better than something from Paul? Something delicious and something so small. Just take one sip, you can tell that it's notable.
Time in the show to try one of Paul's Potables. That theme song's going to be longer than the actual segment. Because what is the potable today, Barney?
Yeah, the potable is Jager and Red Bull with one of those moonshine cherries in it.
Oh, yes. A Jager bomb with another bomb.
Oh, those cherries, man. I can't wait till they're gone.
Oh, there's still like hundreds left, it looks like.
I think we're doing a good job of dunting into those cherries, the moonshine cherries. I'm liking them more and more every time I try them. I don't get a skeeved by them as I used to.
No, now, yeah, we're going to be right immune to them, man.
Yeah, yeah.
At the end of them. People will pull out a jar of moonshine cherries. We'll like
put them on our ice cream.
Watch out and bristle next year.
Yeah. it does get you a bit at the end. It got me right at the end. So, I just want to say yes. The only thing I want to get all the business out of the way of this show because I'm so disorganized and stupid.
Foo Fighter fucked.
Foo Fighter fucked right now. It was a heck of a show, though. I'll talk a little bit about the Foo Fighters. We went in down last night. Five of us went down. And because of Pan Am games, you can't get into the city. So we took the train down. It was one of my cousin's first time ever on a train. So I was happy to share that experience with him. He was a real brave boy. took him right into the city. And then, so we go to the concert, and Royal Blood opened. They were great. They were terrific.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Good show and everything. And Dave Grohl, he was in Sweden, I think, a month ago or so. Fell off the stage and dislocated his ankle and then broke his leg. Finished the show that night, but then had to go get surgery. And in surgery, he came out with a morphine button. You know, a morphine button?
Or a pump, yes.
Yep. So then he was clicking the morphine button. He shows a picture of himself clicking the button. And he says he came up with this great idea because he didn't want to cancel shows. So he said he's going to make a throne. He's going to make a throne. So he built this throne in 3 weeks or whatever. It was like the Game of Thrones throne when it's got like he's sitting on a speaker and he's got like instead of the swords coming out the side, there's guitar necks and there's lasers on the side. And even his sketch that he drew in his morphine haze, you know, it says lasers and shit shooting out the top, you know, there's like a picture of it or whatever. Anyways, he had this throne thing. It was pretty cool, like, because from a performance perspective, you would never, it sounded great. Like, they sounded awesome, and it would still, the throne itself would run the gangplank instead of him doing it or whatever, so.
You did really good there, because your wife walked in here, like, as our bartender.
What?
And how can you keep train of thought? Like, I lost totally. Too much eye candy. I don't know if that's a good bartender. Like,
Paul, I'm a professional broadcast journalist here. What I do is I focus.
I saw something shiny.
What you don't see under the broadcast desk right now is a raging erection. It's a raging erection. Now, I held it together the entire time, but my penis, I cannot say the same about, because it is hitting the bottom of the desk right now. Because I saw it. Believe me, I saw it. I didn't for a second.
That changes the whole show right there. Like,
it really is nice having female bartenders, especially. Look what she's actually doing, though, during the show. This is one thing that...
Like a judge. She's actually doing
She served us drinks, Paul. You know? The one thing that her bartender hasn't done very much of in the last few weeks is actually serve us a goddamn drink. Sure. Sure, you know, even the one time I made you do it because Dave wrote you a theme song, he told me to go fuck myself or something. So, the people love you, but, you know, the pay does suck for this bartender job, so I have a hard time actually getting people to do a work, you know, because if I could pay you money for this job, but people can't even raise money to buy a microphone, you know.
Well, no, but this one's good.
I mean, it's okay, but you still lean into it. I think the cable's screwed now or something.
Oh, but it's...
Oh, you're doing good. I think people hear you. We had one piece of feedback last week that you had that they liked you a lot better because you had... they could hear you. What could be better Oh, Dave. Shut up, Charters. Shut up, Dave. Jesus Christ.
Rooster sucks balls.
It's not all about you, Dave. You know, sometimes it's about our fans. It's about our listeners. And that's why I have a segment every week we call Feedback. We got feedback.
We got feedback.
Feedback. Did you hear last week calling Dave?
We'll never do it.
Yeah.
Oh, welcome to Feedback. We got feedback, everybody. This week's Feedback, We Got Feedback, is brought to you by our sponsors.
We got
Charters. Shut up. Jesus, he's when Soundboard Charters is actually a prick.
Yeah.
I take it back. I'd rather have the real Charters in here because at least I can tell him to shut up and he won't just keep playing. Like, Soundboard Charters won't shut up.
Yeah, I have to fart him at the end.
Here. Anyway, this week's Feedback, We Got Feedback, is brought to you by our friends at Amazon. If you go to my website, livefromthedutchhall.com, and do all your Amazon shopping, a little bit of that money will come back and help the show. So please go on my website, livefromthedutchhall.com, and have happy Amazon shopping. Also, you can click out a coupon for some deals at VG Meats. Thank you very much to the guys at VG Meats. Very good meats. We are almost out of pepperettes. just so you know. Just throwing it out. We're back to the pepperettes a bit. I don't know. Maybe we should start about steaks, eh? A real expensive steak or a roast. But
oh, we should have them back in for a good feast.
Yeah, I know. It's about time we... We keep saying we'll invite people back in, but I'm terrible at booking guests. So if you are listening to my show and you've always wanted to, you want to be a guest on Live from the Dutch Hall, if it's been a lifelong dream of yours to be a guest like Jamie Barham, it's really, we've been grilling you the whole time. Yeah, you know, does it feel like I really got to the core of Jamie Barham? We're saving it to the end segment, eh, where we really get into the essence of you.
Yes.
But so far, it's been a good experience.
Yes, not bad at all. Yeah, it's a different angle.
Yeah,
that I'm seeing it from tonight.
So we don't have much for feedback. We got feedback this week. The only story that I have is that we were at at the Foo Fighters concert. Now, it's kind of a cheat story, but it's still technically true, right? You're in Toronto, you're in a big city, you're at a concert with a lot, like thousands of people, and you run into somebody who has listened to Live from the Dutch Hall, and they said they listened to the show, right? Like two different girls came up to me and said they listened to the show, right? But now they were from the area originally. They live in Toronto now, but they were originally from this area.
Right. Did you ask them how they got on your show or like?
They know one of my cousins.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they know one of my cousins, and that's how they through Facebook or something like that.
Right,
that's how they kind of
seeing the links and stuff.
Or just hearing about it, you know, from the area, and they listen to it. But they the one girl's piece of feedback, and I quote, was I like the one Derek Van Hooten is on. That's what she said. I like the ones that Derek Van Hooten are on.
Oh yeah.
Are on the ones that he is on. The ones that he is on or the one whatever
she wasn't are too on. Smart she probably said are on
well I don't know still what happened I wish I could mention the girls' names because we actually rode back on the train with the one girl and nice girls but I don't I have no memory of it at all because when I go to a rock concert I there's a lot of haziness involved in the evening. There's a lot of like brown spots. And last night was no exception.
Brown spots.
A lot of brown spots. A lot of like I do.
I would explain Foo spots, Fighters right?
Like gray, like black spots. No, he does brown
spots.
I still remember some parts of it, but it's not a blackout. It's more of a brownout. Yeah, it's a brownout. I still get some power Easy. Through, but some of the stuff's just whizzing past me too fast. I'm not able to pick up on it. But I'll tell you about the Foo Fighters last night. The show, it was a. They played a lot of cover songs. I couldn't believe how many cover songs they played. They played Tom Sawyer by Rush because Geddy Lee's mom was there with Dave Grohl's mom. They're sitting together in the crowd. And then so they played Tom Sawyer. Then they played Cinnamon Girl to like smooch up to the Canadian crowd, right? And then they played Under Pressure by Queen.
I bet you everybody thought it was Ice Ice Baby.
Oh, that would have been better if they played Ice Ice Baby. Eh? Or did a medley, yeah. That would be good. But there was a ton of cover songs. I couldn't believe how many they played. Because, that's a lot. Three cover songs for a Foo Fighters performance when they have a catalog as big as they have. Like,
play your own shit.
Yeah, you have so much of your own stuff to play. And they would even ask, like, do you want to hear another cover song or do you want to hear a Foo Fighters song? And people would cheer just as loud for cover songs. Like, they didn't care. It was kind of cool, though. Like, really, like, I guess I know how they play their songs. Like, you get to see how they...
their take on other songs. Yeah. It'd be kind of cool, right?
Yeah, Tom Sawyer. I like their version of Tom Sawyer actually better than Rush's, but I'm not a huge Rush fan. I know it, you catch a lot of shit about that, eh? The Rush fans are like, sure. The Rush fans are crazy.
They are crazy.
When you get a real Rush fan and they're like adamant, they're like really into it, and you're like, yeah, okay, they're all right. You know, I'm like, what? It's fucking Rush. Are you kidding me? You know, I'm like, I don't get Rush. I just haven't got it.
Nah, me neither. I've never got Rush.
The voice, Ed Gailey's voice is just kind of like off. Putting to me, it's too high and weird. Like I just can't get it. It gets too high, you know. I think if he had a beefier voice, I'd be more into it. But I think Geddy Lee's just too, like, you know, almost falsetto or something. Like, too high. Eh? Like he's not my cup of tea.
Or his sisters went and saw you too. You saw a way better show, eh? A pompous ass or Dave Grohl.
Yeah, to go see you. Yeah, you too. You couldn't pay me to go you see could, you too.
I don't like you too at all.
Yeah, and I know that they're probably great entertainers or whatever. It's going to be a great show, light, whatever. I get it, you know. But they're world class entertainers. But I just don't give a shit at all about U2. Mm-hmm. Like, and you know what? When they gave me that that album on my iTunes thing, like, everyone makes a big deal about that. But it is honestly I'm so offended by it. Like,
I hate it.
I don't want your music. For you to think that I want your music and you're just going to give it to me for free. Well, I can't give everyone Live from the Dutch Hall against their will on their show. I think they're going to like it, but they don't. Like, I don't like
you put YouTube. On your playlist and all of a sudden you too. Like, I'm coming off a 40-foot ladder to shut my playlist.
It's a cocky move.
Yeah. And they're not putting on Joshua Tree. If all of a sudden I was like, I see Joshua Tree in my playlist, I'm like, well, at least it's a good album.
Yeah.
They put on the new one, which is a piece of shit.
When you were a musician.
Yeah,
when you're still young and hungry, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. Now searching for that.
I don't want that crap.
Yeah, yeah, I don't want it at all. Yeah. It's garbage. It's all electronic. Like, they just pick and... I don't like the way they make music. Like, I like a guy that's going to muscle through it, you know, that's going to, like, have a little bit of, like, that musicianship to it, where they're more, like, technical. Like, the Edge, he's all about his boards and very electronic sound or whatever. And I just don't find that to be as interesting to me.
It's a different style of music, I guess, but it's a different craft, I guess. I like real.
Yeah.
Rock and roll.
And I got a question too. You know how Bono goes around the world, like, trying to get countries to give their money to poor people and stuff like that? And, like, he's big about world poverty, right? Like, sharing the wealth kind of thing?
Yeah.
Does he do that? Have you ever heard of him? Like, is he kind of broke because he's giving all his money to charity?
No, I doubt he's broke.
Yeah, I think he's probably closer to...
He lines his pockets first, maybe.
And then asks other people to give money, like the taxpayers' money to other countries, but he won't give his own?
Yeah.
Yeah. So give, like, I don't know. I just find him, like, why would his voice carry, I guess his voice should carry as much weight as anyone else's, but it shouldn't carry more. You know what I mean? Like, who gives a shit about a rock star's opinion on stuff, you know? Like, I just don't understand it. Like, why would you care about an actor's opinion on politics or, you know what I mean? It's as good as anyone else's, but why do we give it more weight? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Hey, well, it gets to more people.
It does.
Yeah, I guess.
I see that, too. Like, if it's, like, you got a Taylor Swift, like,
yeah,
or
yeah.
Like Katy Perry or Justin Bieber.
They're always a spokesperson or a sponsor.
Like, if Sean Penn's floating around in a canoe amongst, like, the ruins of or the devastation of Hurricane Katrina, it makes a bigger deal than, like, Joe Schmo, who's, like, the local fire chief or whatever.
Throw the Kardashians out into a, you know, some sort of a...
Yeah.
Crazy catastrophe and holy crow, look at the people.
I would love to watch the Kardashians in a catastrophe. that's a Kardashian show that I would actually watch if you were to take all the Kardashians and put them in the middle of a hurricane and just watch them.
It's a good alliteration, yeah, like too. Kardashians watch and catastrophe.
With like those head cams pointing back at their faces.
Yeah. You bring them out in like some stretch limo and you drop them off in the middle of a hurricane and then just leave them there and just watch what they do. Watch one of them blow away, like all of a sudden, boom, there's Courtney. Courtney's gone.
Gone. It sucks right up.
That'd be great TV. Great TV. Yeah. next week you bring them to like Tornado Alley. They're in like the trailer park and some tornado and they get all sucked up in a tornado. Great. Hey, they got that boy with the weird with the sock business. He went up in the tornado. Did you see that? Oh, that's great. Can't wait till like tsunami week. It's gonna take the rest of them out.
Sock business.
The only one that lived was Caitlyn Jenner because their implants floated or whatever. Yeah. Be great. That's shows I'd watch because it's interesting because it's people I don't like that are having horrible things happen to
them. And then would people actually throw money at the catastrophe? I don't know. Or did they just be tuned in maybe?
Oh, I mean, I think that show's more about entertainment. I think people would be paying money to get bigger and better storms. Yeah. So that we could,
Mark.
Yeah.
Drop off more crazy slurs.
Yeah. Do you have any more Kardashians? We've gone through the whole bunch of them last year.
Great reality TV. Yeah. Who cares about the problems?
Ratings are through the roof.
Through the roof. Yeah. I'd like to see that mom. That
solve no problems.
It would be great though. Like I'd like to see like people. Like people that are like traditionally like really together, you know, like someone like the president or something like that, like Barack Obama. But then you put him in a situation where he's going to shit his pants, you know, like where you really.
I would think that's every day. Can you imagine what's thrown at him? Holy crap.
Yeah, but it's not like a physical threat of some guy making him his bitch, right? Because he's still just like a 6'2", skinny guy, right?
Yeah.
So like there's gonna be some big bruiser out there who could just like make him his bitch, like some prison like hoss or whatever. And you just like, get him in Obama's face and just see what he does, right? But in one I would love to see like
I hope
how together you are, you know?
He went to a podcast. Right.
Trudeau did a podcast or no Obama?
Obama. So I hope Trudeau comes here. I'm gonna hit bong tokes with him.
Well, you know how that can happen. You gotta We just gotta get the Dutch Hall audience to keep requesting that Trudeau come into the show. You know, this might be a highly contested riding. You never know. In the federal election, maybe the Liberals could take this one or whatever. It might be actually something he's interested in. He might do it. You never know. The only way to do it is to ask. You know, but like I could think about getting like because that was a big deal. Like Obama was on a podcast, so it really did kind of like. What do you call it? Validate the medium, you know, like to say that a sitting president feels enough about the podcast audience to say it's worthwhile for him to address that medium, audience medium. That aren't going to he wouldn't get them on CNN, the same people, because they're just wired into the internet versus the television sources and stuff like that. So they're starting to give credence. He did Zach Galifianakis' show too, like between two firms.
Yeah. Hilarious show.
Yeah, so then so both internet only shows, right? So to say like to think about if we would get the three leaders in here, the only one that would be like if Stephen Harper wanted to come in here, let's say Stephen Harper wants to come on live from the Dutch Hall, right?
You already look like you're exhausted of even thinking about Harper coming in here.
Yeah,
that's boring.
Like show. You know the amount of shit you're gonna have to go through, even in Canada to see a prime minister. Like it's not like the States. Like they had a tent as driveway and have helicopters and snipers and shit.
It wouldn't be the same.
If Harper came in, there'd probably be like one car in front, one car behind. Maybe I don't even know if they get that. He'd walk back here, and there'd be a couple of security people with him, and it would be it. I mean, there would be. I don't think the one guy choked down Kretchen. You remember when? That guy just walked up to Kretchen when he was the prime minister and just choked him. And then Kretchen choked him out. That's what happened, right?
Yeah.
The guy came up to Kretchen to do something. Kretchen put a pie in his face or something. That's what it was. And then Kretchen choked the guy down. Secret Service didn't even get to him in time because Kretchen beat the shit out of him. Got him down on the ground. It was the best. I was really proud of him. We've done a whole bunch of bonehead moves. We just aren't paying attention here in Canada. We just don't think of it as much. We haven't had assassinated prime ministers ever, you know? They've had a bunch of them in the States, you know, that have been assassinated. So they're a little bit more conscious of that. But we just have never had a prime minister killed. I don't think so. I don't think any of our prime ministers have been assassinated.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So Harper, but if he comes in here, even with that, even the amount of bullshit I'd have to do just like saying what you can say, what you can't say, and then when he comes in here, I would be like, I don't really know what I'd ask him. You know, like, I really don't care. About the guy as a person, right? He's not interesting. Yeah. Do you think he'd be interesting?
No, it'd be terrible.
Yeah. He would just be so, and he's not going to talk honestly to you anyways. Same with Trudeau. Same with Mulclair.
Well, Trudeau, I'm packing a bong, like a 6-foot bong. We're hitting it.
You're just going to ruin his career. This is great. And he's not going to come at all because that's all that's going to happen. We just like, if he just, you think it's going to be good for his campaign if he's seen as being the party bong guy with us clowns?
Yeah, once he leaves, well, after he's already in, then he'll come. Once it's all legal.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole country's legal.
I don't even still, I still, even with legal marijuana, full legal recreational marijuana in Canada, I don't think Trudeau would come on and smoke weed on TV. Just
what's
like
on TV
or on radio. Oh, but you're saying he does it, but he doesn't say anything about it. We're just saying it's off air. We're not making mention of it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. We won't do it on air, but I'm definitely
Well, we've never done weed on air yet.
No, we don't smoke that.
So. We pretended to for the weed show. Remember that?
The weed show, yeah.
I thought it was pretty good. That was Oscar worthy. If you listen back to that, I think it was Oscar worthy. It sounded real. It sounded like we really did it. I don't know. Did you think it sounded like it, Jane? It was very convincing.
Yeah, I was convinced.
Yeah. Well, some people, you never know what's real and what's not in life in the Dutch Hall. Like, we do have like 6 little people that have been sitting in the corner quietly the whole time. We don't make mention of them, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't think that's a more visual deal, right? I thought of it after the fact when I invited them. I told them to wear those outfits. But then I was like, well, how am I going to communicate that? So I just told them, stay quiet in the corner and sit there, right? And that's why they're there. That's why
they're so cute.
Yeah, they're
They're quiet. Cute. They add to it. We have a woman bartender in that. Are you texting?
No, I'm reading one.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? The only thing we have to do left in this awesome feedback segment is to talk to our one and only great supporter, the Haitian Dwarf. Let's see what he's got to say.
Do you have anything to say?
Yeah, he did. He got back to us this week.
I love that word.
I can't even. This thing's. Oh, man.
I love that word.
Easy, Barry. Easy. It's a sticky buttons today. The Haitian Dwarf got back to us. He's been with us since the beginning. For those of you who have never listened to the show, Haitian Dwarf has been with us since the very beginning, and he always gives us feedback each and every week. And this week is no exception. He gave us 5 stars on iTunes this week. 5 stars. And he says, Happy Canada Day from all of us here in Haiti. See you at the Pan Am Games .. Let's hear it for that one. So really, we're going to cut that short. Really, the Haitian Dwarf just wanted to give us some pleasantries this week. Just wanted to say, Happy Canada Day. Still 5 listening. Stars for the show. See you at the Pan Am Games. And I'm glad he's got off his little bit of his sexual perversions. And sometimes, I think probably, maybe tells a little bit of a yarn. Maybe he tells a bit of a long story, you know, like a far-fetched story, claiming that he's had relations with famous celebrities like Caitlyn Jenner and such like that. But this time he's going right back to his athletic career, and I'm happy to hear that he's going to be at the Pan Am Games in Toronto. As a Haitian Dwarf, he's made mention he's going to see us at the Pan Am Games. So I would only assume either A, that the Haitian Dwarf is competing in a sport that we're unaware of, or B, they have dwarf tossing as a recreational sport in the Pan Am Games this year.
Gotta Google it.
We're gonna have to Google that, but I'm just gonna go with my suspicion. I'm gonna forego research in this case, and just gonna say it as a fact that dwarf tossing is a demonstration sport in this year's Pan Am Games, and that's a great thing to do. And congratulations, Haitian Dwarf. I hope you podium this year, and all the best to you.
Maybe it's just trying to find someone to F her in the pee.
You keep bringing that up, you know, and that you know, that's a real source of shame when you say "effer" in the P too, Jane. You're not committed to the gag.
I know.
Our older bartender, he's not afraid to say the real words. He's not going to hide behind those words.
Paul, you'll have to interpret for me.
Well, the effer is fucker, and the P is right in the pussy.
Dude, it's very dirty when he says it. Well, there's a couple of news stories in the media this week that I think would be interesting to talk about. One of them is really starting to worry me. Barney, have you heard about Jared from Subway?
I have heard of Jared from Subway.
You know who he is, though, right? You know,
yeah, he's the guy that lost a bunch of weight eating like vegetable subs.
Yeah, about 20 years ago or something like that. Yeah. They figure a big foot-long bun is really good for weight loss, you know? Yeah. And then it worked for Jared. And, well, Jared's in a bit of hot water because what he did is that Jared's claim to fame is just what you said. He said that he was a big fat guy, and he started eating subs, lost some weight, and then told Subway, look, I lost all his weight eating your subs, and he got the endorsement deal, and it's made a whole career out of it, right? Jared, he's worth a fortune, this fat fuck, right?
I did, like, Super Bowl commercials.
Yeah, and the one year I saw him at, like, a NASCAR event or Super Bowl, and I was like, Jared's fat again. Like, news alert, he's fat, like, fat again. And now it's but I think Jared's in a bit of trouble this week because what he left out, it wasn't just eating subs that got him skinny.
Oh.
Yes. Jared, it was unveiled that not only was it submarine sandwiches, but it was also, you know, regular exercise, which included walking and maybe some light weights,
right,
as well as masturbating vigorously to child pornography.
Oh,
that was the
Jared.
One. That was the one piece he left out. Now, had Subway known about the masturbating vigorously to child pornography, I don't think they would have had him as an endorser, you know, as their main spokesman for
probably
so long.
Wouldn't look good.
So this is alleged. I should say it's alleged. I don't want to get in any trouble with Jared's people for besmirching his good pedophile name. But if you, this is what really happened. There has been a number of federal agents going through Jared's belongings. I think they did like an 11-hour search of his home and his hard drives, right? So I'm alleging all the rest of it because when you look at the cops going through your hard drive, you know, chances are it's due to dirty kiddie porn. That's the only thing, right?
Really?
Yeah, all the rest of the porn's legal, but so unless it's like some sort of fraud or, you know, wire, but the one piece of evidence that came out was that Jared's the guy who runs Jared's foundation is like a charitable foundation or something like that. The guy who runs it was arrested for child pornography, and then soon after they came after Jared's computer, right? So, and if you have a good look at the guy, you know what he looks like.
Yeah.
You know, Jerry's like a kind of Frankenstein looking, you know, pedophile glasses and all. You're not going to let him look after your kids. Nobody would let Jared look after their kids. Right? You knew that before.
Yeah, no, true. Oh, I did. Yeah.
Like, I mean, I didn't.
Like, if he came to my door and said, I'm your babysitter, no fucking way.
No, I don't think so. You're not looking after my kids. You are weird. You go home to your computer to sit there. I think that's what you do. He looks like that. That's how he got fat in the first place, right? I don't like him one bit, and so I wouldn't have said that before the evidence came out. I wouldn't have accused him blindly, but I had a little bit of a hunch, you know. Just having he gave me the creeps. That guy, I wouldn't let him near my children. It's like Bill Cosby too. Bill Cosby, that guy, you know, 30. I don't know how many women, 36 or whatever. A whole bunch of women came forward, all with the same claims of what he was up to, and pretty. They kept showing his TV show, but now they had some. He actually admitted to something. To buying sedatives for the purpose of having sex with women or something like that. And so now they're pulling all the shows off the air because he's admitted something. Because otherwise it was just accusations. Even though it's 36 accusations, it wasn't enough to lose sponsorship. But I don't understand that at all. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Because sometimes you just say one word and people don't like it. Or you get 10 people complain about you and you lose your gig. And other times it's like you can...
Like a fucker right in the pussy.
36 times while she's passed out or whatever. Real weird stuff.
On Monday morning.
Yeah. Hey, you can still work. Yeah. I don't know. That's creepy, Bill Cosby. Like he almost got to the end of his life too, eh? Like with a good reputation. Like he had this legendary status and.
But that's the thing. He's legendary, good reputation. It's that goes a long way.
It's always those guys though. It's always the squeaky clean guys. That there's something really weird about them, you know? Like, everybody's got something, right? And if the person's outwardly, like, a piece of shit, you just know they're a piece of shit. Like, you at least know what you're dealing with. That is, the flaws are on the outside. I can see them, right?
Yeah.
I at least know what I'm dealing with. It's those squeaky clean, like, guys that seem like they got everything all together in their life. There's something real nasty going on. Like something they're hiding. And that's what the ones you always hear about, something freaky coming out with them, you know? You don't have to worry about some guy who's like... Like a guy like you, Paul, like you don't have to worry about you having a bunch of people buried in your basement, you know? You're going to... It would never happen, you know? Like, you just would tell... It would never get to that. You're too much of an open book, you know?
Yeah.
But the guy that says, oh, he was a real quiet neighbor, always kept to himself, seemed like a nice guy, that's... Watch out for that guy. That guy's the one that's got something going on. Gotta keep him to himself, right?
Yeah.
Those are the ones you can't trust. I wouldn't go anywhere like that. You always got to worry about those guys. The real squeaky clean ones, eh? Those are the ones that bother you. Really do.
That's why we're glad you pulled out of it.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to ask you about that, because remember back when I was in my former life as a employed person?
Yeah.
I was saying either I'm going to, remember I said to you, I said, I'm going to friggin' lose it, right? I have to either quit or I'm thinking about, saying I don't give a shit go on the route of I don't give a shit anymore, because this giving a shit business was tiring me out,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was killing you.
Right. And I said, I'm going to have to quit and go I don't give a shit route. And you're like, oh, yeah, I really want you to go the I don't give a shit route. Remember that?
Yeah.
And
I didn't think you'd take it to this extreme. But, like, the only advice you ever taken from me, and you ran with it.
Yeah, it was bad advice. It was really bad advice. Shit.
Listen to me.
Why would I do that? It was a real mistake.
You're my brother, man. What are you doing to me?
Yeah.
You're going to blame it all on me now.
Eh? Oh, I would too.
So you two guys have known each other for forever, or did you meet in high school? Used to?
High school, yeah.
High school?
Yeah.
And you guys were like, because I remember you, Barney, like when we were like growing up on the farm or whatever, you and Paul always had some old piece of shit in the barn that you were bondoing up or painting or something.
Bondoing or painting or changing the engine or dropping a transfer case or something.
Yeah.
Something.
And so did you go to wait when you went to school together too or not?
No, you went to London. I went to Brampton, Bangladesh.
Oh yeah, you went to Brampton. All right. Yeah. Anyways, I went nowhere. I was just curious. That's the in-depth interview. I'm trying to get to Barney's core, but I went nowhere with it. I'm like, you guys know each other? Yeah, I know each other.
Yeah, we've known each other for years.
All right, fine. Then I'll talk about my next thing. Did you hear about the guy in Calgary that took a lawn chair and he tied a whole bunch of balloons to it, just like the movie Up, and then he floated in the sky, and then he it was to promote his cleaning business. He had a cleaning business. He wanted to promote it. Couldn't get permission to fly a plane to promote his business because of the no-fly zone, because of Calgary Stampede. So he decided to take a lawn chair and put a whole bunch of balloons on it and float up there and do something to create a stir. And it worked. He floated right up into the clouds to the point where he saw a 747 below him and decided he got scared and jumped out of the lawn chair with a parachute on his back, parachuted to the ground, and was arrested. And his website did very well when he posted the video. It's awesome video when you see the guy. But I'm not sure how that's going to translate to sales per se, and if it's going to make up for the cost of the arrest and all the stuff he's in trouble for. But it's pretty fucking cool. Like, I never thought it would really work. You know, you see that in like cartoons and stuff like that. The guy holds all the balloons and then goes up. But this worked. Like, he went up. And I don't know why
just bail in a parachute. Like, wouldn't you just start popping, like light a cigarette and start popping?
Is he a seasoned skydiver? Like, that would be so scary.
Like, I
wouldn't.
Well, I'd have to assume he knows a little bit of what he's doing, or unless he's just pure balls and no sense at all.
Like, drinking a couple Red Bulls. Yeah. And just like, let's do it.
Yeah, I don't know. Just get a bunch of balloons.
Life gives you wings.
Yeah.
I watched up.
It's hard to really determine like. Bravery and stupidity. Like, I can't tell the difference most of the time.
Fine line.
Well, for a cleaning business, though.
Well, really? the line is...
Even if you're going to promote a cleaning business with a plane, like a banner behind a plane.
Yeah.
Really? A cleaning business? At the Calgary Stampede?
Yeah, who's going to be like, oh, everyone, oh, I need my...
That's what I need. I need it cleaned.
And the guy's only in one town. He's only going to be able to service whatever radius to where he lives, right? So it's only going to work for them, you know. But if it was like someone that lived in Pine Grove and I said they floated up in the heavens with the lawn chair with balloons and then fell out, got arrested or whatever, and I'd be like, oh, are they cleaning? I got to pay for a guy to clean the office or something like that. I'd be like, yeah, I'll get that crazy motherfucker that jumped out of the... I'll get him to clean my office. That would be great.
That guy's nuts.
Yeah. I like to hire insane people.
Yeah. Who have... they don't have time to clean the office. They want to jump out of these crazy plans. Yeah.
You know what I would do? I would just put an ad right on Facebook. It's risky. But not as risky as that launcher bullshit. That's stupid.
Looking for a man to fill up a whole bunch of balloons.
Yeah, and jump out of a plane.
We should set you
put Pete Van Dyke's logo on it. What, live from the Dutch Hall?
No,
what?
The Pete Van Dyke...
balloon chair.
Your sponsor.
What? Oh, the Pete Van Dyke sponsorship? Yeah, just me.
Yeah.
But it would have to be somebody else, like dressed as me.
Why, you're too scared?
Yeah, I'm not doing it up there. I'm not going to put the talent up there. You don't want to put the guy that I'm the straw that stirs the drink of Pete Van Dyke Incorporated. There's no way you can put me up in the lawn chair. You put some scrub.
Me,
I wonder how many balloons it would take to actually lift a human off the ground on a lawn chair.
Yeah, a lot. It was a lot. I saw the balloons. There was quite a few of them, but yeah.
And would you tie them with just like little thin strings, or would you a little bit thicker of a cord or something to just to make sure that you're not going to be screwing yourself?
Yeah, I'd want wire. I would want it to be as like as secure as like a chain.
Do you do a trial run of some sort to make sure it's going to happen?
I don't think this guy did really well. He must have done some testing. I'd have to
like a dummy or something.
It's crazy.
You're coming out with me a lot of questions.
Because you figure he's a regular guy, right? He's got a regular business. He's looking for a gimmick. And this is the crazy thing he decides to do.
Right.
He could have done a million other things.
Right.
And he risked his life.
Yes. Like, but I'm saying he's got commitment to want to go. If he's got the commitment to pull off a trick like that, then he's going to have the commitment to clean my office. That's why he's showing you his commitment, right? That's what you want to do. You want a guy that's going to clean
and that's obviously
and
what
fly.
He thought when he was brainstorming this wonderful marketing idea.
That's right. That's right. I think the guy, I think it worked. People are talking about him. They are aware of his business.
Yeah, all over the world.
They were directed to his website. Like, he's got his exposure, but it was expensive is what I'm saying, and very risky. If he would have died trying to do an ad for his cleaning business, you know, that would have been pretty stupid.
Especially if he was a head cleaner.
Yeah, because then you just ruin it. I think he probably was.
Business is done.
Yeah, business is over. Business time is over.
It's like you going up in the balloon chair yourself.
Yep, never would do that.
Done.
Actually, when Live from the Dutch Hall travels, we always travel in four separate vehicles in order that if something was ever happening.
Right, that's very intelligent.
To one of us, yeah. The show can still go on, you know. We wanted to carry on without me, or Paul. Paul's gone already.
Yeah.
What is he drawing out? What, the big emergency?
Too many BL smoothies.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're at the 57 mark, so we got to do one quick thing to end the show, and then we are done for another week, which is for all the people that stuck it out this far into the show.
That was so fast.
Yeah. It went pretty fast. Everything okay, Paulcha? You good?
Yeah.
All right. We're coming to the last segment of the show. Is there anything you want to say to your adoring fans, Paul? Because they haven't donated even 1 cent to the project to get Paul
a new
microphone.
No one fucking cares. That's it. No one listens to this shit.
They do, though. They do, but they don't give money.
No.
At all.
Cheap.
They just like it free, eh?
It's the Dutch Hall. If I would have called it live from the Spendthrift Hall, or like the what do you call it? What's the opposite of cheap?
Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
How
about a philanthropist hall?
The Barbie Mansion, I bet you. They're just throwing money at that shit.
The Barbie Mansion is a myth.
It's a myth.
This is to the people in Tennessee. I think you still might be listening to the show. There's no Barbie Mansion. You took me down the garden path and lied to me is what you did, you women. And I sitting there giving you advice on how to do this show. I'm looking for it every week. I want to support your show, the first spinoff ever of Life from the Dutch Hall. I helped create it. And then it doesn't even happen. I'm really disappointed, girls. I think it could have been great.
It would have been great. I was waiting.
Yeah. I would have done a show. I would have done a show of theirs as a guest, as long as the pay was right. Right? But they blew it. So For all you people that stuck it out for another week with us, I'd just like to say enjoy your summer holidays. Reach out to me with some feedback if you'd like to at livefromthedutchhall@gmail.com. You can like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter or Instagram or Periscope or all that bullshit. We didn't Periscope today.
Oh, crap. Sorry.
No, Biggie. I needed it for my band. My band was my phone today, so we couldn't have done both. Anyways, reach out to me. Support my sponsors, Amazon, VG Meats. And until next week. Oh, wait. We can't do it next week because I don't have a band. Hey, Soundboard Band, wake up, you sons of bitches. Until next week, I will say, oh, no. Technology sucks. C-U-N-T. See you next Thursday. One hour.
Dead on.
Dead on again.
No way. That never happens.
2 weeks in a row. 2 weeks in a row.
Ridiculous.
I know. I'm telling you, I can hit the hour. I can do whatever you want. That first time I hit both, I played both theme songs in a row, and I pretty much hit the mark on the opening.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm getting good at this.
How many episodes?
83, I think.